I'm Pastor Tim. Welcome to The Two Greatest. This is episode 1174, God's in the Agora. Jane and I have recently returned from a wonderful two-week trip in Greece and Israel. And even though it was my third trip to Israel and my second trip to Greece, I listed out 27 things that were new to me this time. And one of those was the ancient Agora of Athens. An Agora was a meeting place of the city. It was the marketplace. It was the place for public speeches and barbershops and vendors and temples of worship. What was shocking was to take in the number of gods that were worshipped there. Today, gods in the Agora. This podcast is called The Two Greatest after the two greatest commandments, to love the one true God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and not love any other gods at all. Up on the Acropolis of Athens, you find the Parthenon. It was built for the goddess Athena about 400 years before Jesus. Now, Poseidon, Artemis, Zeus, Aesculapius, Dionysus, Aphrodite, and other gods found their place around the temples of the goddess, but also on the slopes of the sacred rock. Okay, I get it. It's impressive. But the surprise was the temples in the Agora, the so-called marketplaces. The altar, or bromos in Greek, in the center of the Agora was dedicated to the 12 gods of Greece: Zeus, Hera, Poseidon, Demeter, Hestia, Apollo, Artemis, Hephaestus, Athena, Ares, Aphrodite, and Hermes. The temples and shrines were everywhere. A virtual smorgasbord. Take your pick. Whatever god you want to worship is right there for you. How silly, right? I mean, can you imagine having lots and lots of gods where we gather in our marketplace? Oh, wait, I think we do. If we're not very, very careful in modern malls, that will be a place of worship for us, where we go to honor and offer our sacrifices of money to the gods of capitalism, materialism, hedonism, and selfishism. And just down the street, we have sports arenas, where thousands of people fill up seats ready to worship their favorite gods on the gridiron or the grass field. And we know it's worship because people are shouting their praise, praying for victory, and losing themselves in the emotion of the ritual ceremony. Do you think I'm exaggerating? I'm not so sure. The Gospel Coalition writes, "Sin is not merely doing bad things, it's making a good thing the ultimate thing. The Bible calls it idolatry. People are made to love God and be satisfied in Him and find their identity in Him. An idol is anything that seeks to take God's place in fulfilling those very needs, whether it be physical objects or an idol of the heart." And what about shopping? Well, buying is like a religious experience. The places of purchase are designed with icons and liturgies, sale, half off, and they're built to shut out the rest of the world and keep you in that sacred place as long as they can. I'm not saying sports or shopping is bad. I am saying that anything can become an idol, a false god, a place to give our love and devotion in a manner that should be reserved for the one true God. Remnant Resources writes, "Everyone worships. No one gets a choice about this. To be human is to be a worshiper. Some people worship a deity. Some people worship other people. Most worship themselves, but everyone worships something because everyone desires something and loves something and is devoted to something and makes sacrifices for something by giving their time, attention, and effort and resources. And the world is filled with liturgies that compete for your fidelity. Every day you're assaulted with competing visions of the good life, each offering a unique set of promises and rewards. Do this and you'll be satisfied," is the hidden wordless message behind them all. Here lies the path to joy. And you will take one of them. You can't help it because everyone worships. Second, what you worship determines who or what you become. It's built into the fabric of the universe that we become like what we worship, either for ruin or for restoration. And third, the only thing you can worship that won't delude you or disappoint you or cause you to self-destruct is God. Psalm 115:8, "Those who make idols become like them, and so do all who trust in them." St. Augustine came to realize this contrast the hard way. After years of self-destructive worship, he finally realized, and he said in the Confessions, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." Here's the great question. Are you restless or resting? Let's pray. Lord, keep me from idols. Amen. I hope you'll join me tomorrow for episode 1175. And in the meantime, it was so amazing to be in Greece and see the sights. But people are people. Because we are all worshipers, idols are everywhere in every generation. So, what gods are in your agora?